So I hope you guys are full of joy. I hope you're doing well. I hope you see God moving in your families and in your lives. We have been going through a series called The Kingdom of God. We believe that God's kingdom is here on earth, that it's also in heaven, but God's kingdom does not have boundaries. It is not confined to space and time, but it is actually in heaven and on earth, and that we are representations. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and because he brought reconciliation between us and the Father, we can now represent him on earth, that he poured out his Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we receive the Spirit of Christ. And how many know that the Holy Spirit is inside you when you receive Christ? And because of that, you are now a living, breathing temple. No longer do you have to go to a building to find God. You actually have God in you. He's within you. And now you get to bring him into the darkest place, and you can be that shining light because the Holy Spirit is in you. So wherever you go, God goes with you. And so God now is without boundaries. I mean, he always was, but now in your life, he's without boundaries. So you can actually walk and bring the kingdom. You can advance the kingdom of God. And I want to, I want to talk this morning in reference to the kingdom of God about the supernatural, that the supernatural is also not just held within one dimension, but it's also in our dimension. We live in the dimension, the 3D dimension, right? In the time-space dimension of, what's it, length, time, height, width, something. Failed science. Dang it. But my point is the natural and the supernatural are interconnected. For you to think that your natural actions don't have supernatural consequences is pure ignorance. Your natural actions have supernatural consequences, and your supernatural actions have natural consequences. The dimensions are interconnected. And I don't mean to, you know, when I say dimensions, you're like, whoa, you're far out there. You know, I'm just saying, like, Jesus brought heaven on earth. He actually taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, which means that God is having these dimensions overlap, bringing his will on earth. And he's decided to do it co-laboring with us through our lives. And so it's really important that we understand that the kingdoms are interconnected, that the natural and supernatural are interconnected, and it's one kingdom of God. Matthew 4:17. We've said this verse a lot, but I want to keep bringing it. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, which means, in the Greek, is metanoia, which literally means change the way you think, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is saying, everybody that he was encountering, hey guys, wake up, because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Where's that hand? How close is your hand? It's right here. It's within reach. It's within grasp. It's not coincidence that the main ministry of Jesus was deliverance and healing. It was things that were beyond that, this current dimension. It was like Jesus is saying, you want to see God's kingdom at hand? Be delivered of a supernatural spirit. You want to see God's kingdom at hand? Be healed beyond medical science. And I love how Jesus even heals through medical science. Come on, we have doctors in this congregation. We're not anti-doctor, anti-medicine, but we are pro-Jesus. And he can manifest himself in any way possible. When I see cures for certain diseases, I'm like, God, thank you for using medical individuals for bringing your kingdom. But there's things that are beyond the medical reach. And so oftentimes we'll pray. Sometimes I'll pray and say, Jesus, any way you can make this healing work, I just pray it happens right now. But if we don't have any ability to do it in the physical, will you in the supernatural, Holy Spirit, manifest your kingdom in this body right now? There's no cancer in heaven. May there be no cancer in this body. Why? Why do I even think to pray that way? Because I know that there is a supernatural realm that can invade the natural realm by the Holy Spirit. Not through sorcery, not through witchcraft, not through magicianry. See, there are ways that people access the supernatural illegally. It's an illegal access of the supernatural dimension. Many people will access this through witchcraft. They'll access the supernatural outside of Jesus. And there's power in it. Throughout the scriptures, you see time and time again, people outside of the covenant of Jesus Christ accessing demonic forces or the supernatural in some way, shape, or form. And it's illegal and it attracts demons. People who are taking drugs that access supernatural realms, their cultures where they've learned, I'm accessing the supernatural through this drug, having a spiritual experience. And if you look at almost the majority of cultures that access the supernatural realm through drugs end up doing debauchery. Almost all of them leads them to human sacrifice. Sacrificing children is a common theme in the old cultures that accessed the supernatural illegally through drugs. Why? Because they're accessing demonic forces. And you know what one of the main goals of demons are? Is to destroy your body and your life. And so this sacrifice of children is you find very common in that day and age. Why? Because in the supernatural, they're being led to appease these false gods by sacrificing humans. Yet when you access the supernatural through Jesus Christ, there's joy, there's healing, there's power, there's peace. There's this amazing ability to be free because Jesus is good. He's the main one. He's the mediator. He's the one who intercedes for us. Now you can access the supernatural you're like, well, how do I access the supernatural? This sounds really complicated. It's like, do you have to have a certain level of you have to have a theology degree or something like that? Like, no, to access the supernatural, you pray. What do you think prayer is? You're asking God to move on your behalf. When you actually pray in the name of Jesus, you are accessing the supernatural. You're asking God to invade heaven on earth. This is a supernatural thing. If you think that your prayers are not supernatural, man, you are missing out. Your prayers are so supernatural. It's like you're actually asking God, God, would you commission angels to move on our behalf? Jesus talks about this. The word talks about where two or three are gathered, there I am in your midst. Tens of thousands of angels will be sent. I mean, this is powerful stuff. Why? Because we believe in the power of prayer. Why? Because the power of prayer is like accessing this. It is accessing the supernatural. So when you do things that are for good or for God, they're supernatural, amazing things that happen, and then you'll have natural fruit. That's like the opposite. It's like when people, even Christians, when they start getting into sin, it attracts certain supernatural things. I call if you believe in angels, you got to believe in demons. It's like it's in the same book. Jesus was casting out demons. Now you think, well, what's this stuff all about demons? Well, look, I kind of equate demons to flies. I've had a lot of children in my life. Well, my wife has. We've had babies in diapers for 8 years. We've always had diapers. Like, by the time one was out, we already had another one. So we're still in the diaper phase, right? Another year, maybe 2 years. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't get involved. Just kidding. Look, if one of my kids have a mess in their diaper and they're outside, you know where the flies are? The flies are following them. When we create stuff, it attracts flies. Okay. And for you as a Christian to think that you can live in some habitual sin and it not actually have consequences to your natural or supernatural life is real ignorant of you. One of the most common fascinations in society is the supernatural. You want to see what society's longing after? Look at all the movies that are coming out. Most of the movies have supernatural things happening in them, whether it's a superhero or some sort of exorcism movie. I hate those things. Like, I hate, like, that when Halloween comes, this is coming up to Halloween, like, every show is, like, demonic. And they try to act like it's no consequence. Like, there's nothing to see here. We just love talking about demons and witches. And the reality is, these have supernatural consequences. You have things that you take in. Your ears and your eyes and your ears are constantly taking in things. Some people call these eye gates, ear gates. You know why? Because it's what you're viewing. And so you'll have, like, the world coming out with exorcism movies, even though they say they don't believe in this stuff, when the reality is that that's very true. Demons can come in all shapes, forms, and sizes. Sometimes there's demons that torment you. Sometimes there's demons just to tempt you. That's normal. Sometimes it's just your flesh, because you're a human being and you're broken, and so you'll have natural temptations. Not everything's a demon. So just understand that. I'm not trying to blow things out of proportion here. Sometimes there's sins that you are constantly doing on purpose that attract demons, just like stuff attracts flies. And then there's things that we call maybe like an infestation, which is like you really have a stronghold in your life. No longer is this a temptation. This is actually a sin you can't stop doing in your own strength. You're actually what we call a stronghold, and you need deliverance. Very often, this is what the movies like to promote, is possession, right? Where, you know, in the exorcism, it's like all about these possessions, and you're like, what, this is crazy. And it's very rare to have possessions. Can a Christian have a demon? I don't know, but who would want one? They make horrible pets anyway. I mean, just, but outside of Christendom, like, even, you know, this form of possession is very rare that people would have to deal with something like that. But why am I saying this? It's because all of your actions on earth have supernatural consequences. And we have to understand that when we're doing things, there's seeds that are being planted that are for good or for evil. And we have to make sure that we continually understand that you have the Holy Spirit in you. God has angels assigned over you when you are a child of God, when you receive Christ as your Savior. And so to do things against the kingdom should seem very unnatural. I remember growing up, I was in a Christian home, a wonderful home. There wasn't anything significantly wrong. I don't remember any trauma experiencing or anything like that. But for some reason, I had this odd issue of fear. I was afraid. I was very afraid. I'd be in rooms by myself and be afraid. I would always feel like I'm being watched. I always felt this odd thing. I had so much fear. I remember I was in the, and I let this fear take hold of me as a child. I remember being as a young boy in the shower, and I was so scared. I always had the door of the shower open. I was just young. And I remember singing one of the songs at church. And I remember while I'm singing it in my shower, I hear a voice in my head saying, "Stop singing that song." And I thought, that's weird. And I said, no, why would I? I want to sing this song. I'm singing this song. See, I just thought it was like my own thought or something. And then before I know it, I sing the song and I get thrown out of the, I slide on the bathroom floor. I remember my dad sitting on his bed and my head pops out of the bathroom door. And he looks at me, he's like, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I just got thrown out of the bathroom." He's like, "What?" He's like, get up, you've slipped or something. I remember I'd always have to sleep with the covers over my head as a 12, 13-year-old boy. it's kind of embarrassing stuff. So fearful. Books would fly off my shelf, not fall, fly off, to make me more fearful. I remember coming to youth one night, and the youth pastor had an altar call. I don't even remember what the altar call was about, and I'm standing there, and I'm praying, and this youth leader, another youth leader, comes over, and he starts praying for me, and he doesn't know my history, and he says, "I command this tormenting spirit of fear to leave you now in Jesus' name." And I felt something break. And I remember going back to my room. I mean, I got radically touched by Jesus initially when I was 14 years old. I remember going back to my room and I'm praying, and I remember I put on worship music, I put my CD on, and I had everything. I had like a cassette tape player with a CD player underneath. And when the radio went on, I would record. I'd have to wait. I mean, I remember having to, I was just crazy. All that stuff's gone now. But, and I'm in my room, and guess what? I'm in my room, and I sense this fear come in. And I'm scared, and I'm praying internally, but this fear is upon me. And I feel this Holy Spirit say, "Paul, command it to leave in Jesus' name." And in my head, I'm like, "I command it to leave in Jesus' name." You know, that doesn't really work because only God knows your thoughts. Demons can plant thoughts in your head by telling you something. Like if I say yellow rubber ducky, all of you just thought of a yellow rubber ducky. I put that thought in there, right? But only God is omniscient. But a demon knows what it tells you. And so the Holy Spirit said, "Paul, verbalize it." And it felt so fearful. I felt so fearful to verbalize it. But finally I said, "I command this spirit of fear to leave my room in Jesus' name." It came out of me. Oh man, and you, when I said that, the peace of God flooded my room. And I want you to know that you have authority in the name and power of Jesus to command demons to leave. This is how Jesus taught his disciples. This is how he teaches us. And I got set free, and I didn't deal with a spirit of fear from then on, or if it ever came up, I knew how to handle it. And it wasn't able to put a hook in my life anymore. When we worship Jesus, we're actually entering into a supernatural realm, or the supernatural realm is invading our space. In John 4, 23 through 24, it says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." When we gather together, or when we're alone in our own prayer and worship time, when we're worshiping the Lord, we are bringing another dimension into our atmosphere, and we're, you know, affecting the atmosphere of heaven. That's why it talks about us being boldly going into the throne room of Christ, the throne room of God, because we are covered, we are sanctified, and now we get to enter in. You can enter into his presence. It's a core value of who we are, the presence of God. This is a natural thing. I don't want to get all weird on you. So here's the thing. Some Christians get so into the supernatural that they lose focus on the assignment of living naturally as well. And I don't want to use the word balance as an idea of mediocrity, of being mediocre. I have an issue with language. I don't know what's wrong with my brain, but I'm not saying you need to be less on fire for God so that you don't seem crazy. No, if you're a Christian, you're gonna seem crazy to everybody, okay? And I haven't met normal yet, okay? I mean, y'all aren't normal. I'm not normal, okay? We try to act like everyone else, but the reality is we're all crazy in some form or fashion. We're not normal. You're not normal. I mean, I love you, but you're not normal. The idea of normal is so weird to me. However, you can walk in the new, in the natural and be supernaturally activated because you have the Spirit of God inside you. And when people when you come into a situation that's hopeless, you have hope because you have a supernatural God in you. When someone says, I have a situation, I don't know how to get through it, I say, I know someone who can help us. Give me your hand. And you pray and you watch God intervene. This is the goodness of God, that he's not left us as orphans, but we're adopted and we're grafted in. We now have access to the supernatural. Come on, this is good news, guys. It's good news, okay. I love this story. We'll start to end with this story, Acts 9, 17 through 18. The story is a story of Saul, who ends up being Paul, the apostle in the Bible. Saul was, before we read it, you can read ahead, it's fine, but before we read it, the reality is Saul is traveling. Saul gets permission from the synagogues, from the religious leaders of the day, who also had political power and authority to rule their areas as long as they didn't uprise against Rome. And so they were allowed to go. Paul was allowed to go and arrest people and drag them out of their homes and also incarcerate them or stone them to death. And he was a very good religious scholar in terms of his intellect, and he was very well known. He was powerful in the area. He had authority, and he was now becoming known for persecuting Christians because he would find out that certain families were Christians, and he would drag them out of their home and put them in jail or stone them. He was having a horrible effect onto the Christian church at the time. And so Paul is on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears to him blindingly. And he says, who is this, Lord? And he says, this is Jesus who you've been persecuting. And so Jesus tells him to go to Damascus and wait. And so now the guards that were with Paul, they heard the voice, but they had no idea what was going on. They're all astonished. Paul is blind. He ends up going and waiting in Damascus. He's fasting. He hasn't eaten or drank anything for 3 days. And in another area, a follower of Christ named Ananias gets a visitation from the Lord. And the Lord tells Ananias in a vision. This is all supernatural, guys. Ananias is living in the natural. He has a vision. And the Lord says, hey, I want you to pray for the guy who's murdering all the Christians. And Ananias says, God, this is the guy who's murdering all the Christians. And so Ananias, in obedience, goes and says, so Ananias departed and entered the house. This is where Paul was staying. And laying his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized. And Saul, who became Paul, who ends up writing the epistles of Paul in the Bible, taking up most of the New Testament, becomes one of the most influential leaders in the church. And for you to even think that that was only natural, not supernatural, come on. And the same God of this Bible is the same God that we worship and serve. And so as we understand the kingdom of God, you have to understand that the kingdom of God is within you. And that your actions have supernatural consequences, and your supernatural actions have natural consequences. Oftentimes, I don't need to know how someone's struggling, or if they're struggling, I look at their fruit. If I get to know them and I see bitterness and hatred in their heart, if I see that the fruit of their life is producing really bad fruit, I understand. I'm like, oh, something's up there. What's going on? People can only put a mask on for so long. The people who don't let you get close to them, they don't have any accountability. Oftentimes it's because they're covering something. There's a little waste bin in the back of their life that they've not emptied out, and it's building. But when I look at the fruit of people who are living a supernatural lifestyle, and they're full of love and joy, and there's grace in their life, then I'm like, oh, they understand. They're pursuing his presence. They're praying, they're worshiping, they're allowing the transformation of the Holy Spirit to come through their life. Why? Because they realize that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within them, and they can advance that kingdom of God. Living a supernatural life naturally looks like something. It looks like stopping for the one, getting people saved. It looks like sharing the gospel, because you have such good news that you don't mind interrupting their day to tell them. Or you sharing it with a friend, okay? You don't have to talk to strangers all the time. Get your friends saved. Get your family saved. Talk to your in-laws and make them brothers and sisters if you like them. If you don't like them, no, I'm just kidding. Pray for the sick. Seeing healing, you know, when people say, you know, I've never seen healing, I'm saying, how often have you prayed for someone who was sick? I'll ask my friends that. I'll be like, how often have you prayed? And they're like, well, it's 1, 2, 3. You know, it's like 10 times. I'm like, what? Pray for 100 people, then get back to me. Tell me God doesn't heal. I've seen God show up so powerfully. I've seen blind people see. I've seen deaf ears open. I've seen cancer healed. I was sent a reel of this man who got saved, and he's getting baptized. His name is James. He had a chemical burn, and his eyes, he went blind. He had a legal blindness, so he could see some but couldn't see well. And during his baptism, something powerfully happens. He starts to regain his sight, and I just want you to see it. To see what it looks like when someone gets healed, because maybe you haven't seen that before. And so would you show that video real quick, and then we'll come back. Here, right there, he's starting to notice. Telling the pastor right now, I can see. I can see. Love it. It's powerful. What happened? He got baptized. Natural. What happened? Supernaturally got healed. Doesn't happen all the time or every time, but it happens enough. And this is something that we get to walk in as believers. So I want to challenge us to live, first of all, a holy life, to be sanctified, to be set apart, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, okay? But the perfect one lives inside you. So when you fall, you ask for forgiveness, but don't let sin take hold of your life, take root in your life. Be sanctified, be set apart. Also, increase your prayer life. pray and read this word as often as you can, as often as time will allow, okay? Get in his presence. These are supernatural things you can do. Get in his presence, increase your prayer life. Allow him to transform you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Share the good news. You will see the supernatural power of God show up in your personal life, in your family, in your community, okay? One of the main reasons why, if you all did that all the time, I'd love it. All right. One of the main reasons why we see cities and society crumbling is because believers aren't doing these things. It's not because the world's getting worse. None of us should be surprised. When the most extreme sinful thing is before your face and everyone's normalized it, we should not be surprised. They are lost. They don't know what they don't know, okay? But the main reason why sin is taking hold of the culture in such a strong way again is because we as believers have not stepped up living a supernatural, natural life. We forgot that the realms are interconnected, that everything Christ paid for and died for, all of it's supernatural, so that we could live a natural life supernaturally. If you think salvation is a natural thing, that's supernatural. Your sins are forgiven. Have you ever seen someone so asleep and all of a sudden they become awakened by God? Like they were lost. They were lost. And then like a year later, you don't even know what happened. They're like, I got saved and Christ lives within me and I love Jesus. And you're like, wow, that was God. It's like they woke up. They became a new creation in Christ Jesus, which is so supernatural. Our own salvation is supernatural, but it has natural consequences, doesn't it? Good ones, natural results. Why don't you stand? There's a lot going on throughout our city. The stirring is happening. Burning Man is happening outside our city, and we have a missions group going there. Also, Jesus Gathering is happening. Let's be the light into the city. Let's show Albuquerque how to walk supernaturally. Reach out to people, call your neighbor. Number one thing I do that's a supernaturally led thing is while I'm praying, God puts people on my heart. Lost people and saved people. And I am a text messaging king. I immediately go, I am praying for you right now that God would touch your life in a powerful way. I'm praying for your kids. I'm praying for your job. I don't even know what's happening right now. And it is ministering to people. You can do that. It's that easy. That's supernatural. And it opens up the door for ministry. And it opens up the door for Jesus to touch them. You are qualified. God can use you because he has the Holy Spirit in you. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and live radically in our lives. Lord, we understand we cannot be ignorant anymore. We understand that what we do in the natural has supernatural effects. And what we do in the supernatural through prayer and worship have natural effects. So Lord, we pray, bring heaven on earth. Bring your will as it is in heaven, in Albuquerque, in our families, in my life, God. Father, I pray for salvations. God, I pray for a big harvest this year. Oh, Lord, would you bring in 10, 20,000 new believers in Albuquerque? God, would you build the army of God? Would you build the family of God in Albuquerque? Lord, may the love of God continually flow in this city and in this church. Lord, may there be no offense that's too great for your love to move. Oh God, would you heal our land? Would you heal our city? Would you heal our families? God, I know these prayers have power because I have faith for them, and I know that you are sending angels to this city right now. I know that you're commissioning angels to carry out your word and to guard your word, which has already been delivered over this city. God, I pray that we would become that city on a hill that's lit up for you. Lord, I pray for mass deliverances this weekend. God, I pray for mass deliverances throughout this city. Lord, I pray for the spirit of lust to be crushed, broken, and casted out. I pray for the spirit of trafficking and poverty to be crushed, broken, and casted out. May it be cast into the sea, which is really far from here. Because God, you're so good. Lord, I pray that your love, your unconditional love, which we cannot create, it has to come from you, would flow and pour into this city. That joy and peace would be like our anthem. God, all of our children who are prodigals and who are lost, we call them back right now in Jesus' name. God, send them believers who will speak into their life. Send them people who would celebrate them and champion the call of God on their life. And we declare them to come back now in Jesus' name. We declare them to come home right now in Jesus' name. Our grandchildren who are running from you, God, we call them back right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for what you're going to do. God, it brings me so much joy being able to partner with your vision, because we know that what you say will happen. We believe it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. God is good. He's going to do amazing things in your life, in your family, in your city. Have faith for that. Remember that as you go to walk in the supernatural, to remember that the Lord is with you and you should walk as such. Come on.